Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW After Show, and have we got a show for you. The Don Callis family still fighting. The FTW title is on the line, and Okada is elite. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Jimmy Corderas, and we wear pink on Wednesdays. Issa Ramos. Issa, how have you been? I feel like we haven't chatted in a while.
I've been good. I'm excited to talk about Dynamite tonight. There was a lot that I liked. There was a lot that I didn't like. So I'm looking forward to getting into it with you guys.
Yeah, this was a lot of stuff happened today. But before we get into that, Jimmy, of course, I saw you on Monday. How have you been since Monday?
The same, man. I still got a lot of pep in my step. Unfortunately, no promos tonight.
That's a Monday night delight there.
You got to save those, because if you do it too often, then it become too mundane. Let's put it that way.
We have a lot to cover. I want to give a shout out. Thank you guys so much for everyone who's in the chat, whether you're Aaron, Mick, and I am Air hanging out before the show, or whether you're part of that Issa raid coming in like Dylan Matthews here, shouting it out. Thank you for being here. By the way, a lot of positive things about tonight in the chat. Zook Enigma saying AEW is stepping the game up, and Beer Money saying someone told Tony how to tell stories, set up many new feuds and stories. Probably best episode in a year.
What shows were you all watching? Were you watching like DVR from like 3 years ago, or did I watch the wrong thing? What's going on?
Oh, I love this episode. I'm going to say a bunch of good stuff.
You love everything, Jack. We don't rely on you.
I don't love everything. If you listen, there's certain things I don't like, but I do want to talk about something I did like, and this is a little bit of news as we're waiting for everyone to settle in and find their seats. It's WWE related, but I think it's a positive thing, so I want to talk about it. Bull Nakano going in the Hall of Fame. Jimmy, I'm terrible at remembering who's in the Hall of Fame and who's not. If you had asked me, I would have bet you $1,000 that Bull is already in the Hall of Fame. Kind of surprised it's taken this long. Very well deserving, and I'm happy to see it happen.
Not only very well deserving, very well earned, because Bull Nakano, when she entered the WWE or WWF at the time, she changed the game for the women's division, because mm-hmm. the women's division in WWF at the time was perceived as a diva thing, and you know, you had to have a certain look or else you couldn't perform, or you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. Bull Nakano was none of that. She can go in the ring, and she made it. She made everything she did look believable, and people bought in. And like you said, Jack, not only well-deserved, but well-earned, and it's a good thing. And I'm surprised she wasn't in there already as well.
Yeah. I would have sworn she was already in. Issa, did you follow or do you know much about Bull Nakano? I know she was always someone who was, her heyday was really a little bit before I got really invested into pro wrestling, but she was always like a legend, you know, that I knew about and had heard about more and more as I was a fan. Any thoughts on Bull Nakano getting in?
I also thought that Bull Nakano was already in the Hall of Fame. It took me a second when I saw the announcement to go wow, how was she not in there already? And what a deserved, you know, induction this feels like. Yeah, it was a little bit before my time, as you said, but with the research and everything that you end up doing once you get into this business and once you cover it the way that we cover it, I become very familiar with, you know, her career throughout. And I'm very, very happy for her. So far, these Hall of Fame inductees have been a hit. Paul Heyman's announcement first, and now this. So far, it's looking like a great, well-deserved class that should have been there already. Maybe that's the theme of this year. They should have been there already.
It's definitely, Bull Nakano is one of those people that has two things that I think right off the bat make her a great pro wrestler. And that is one, just an insanely good name. Bull Nakano. I mean, come on. How do you not
so
fear
badass.
That I don't even need to see the person. So I was like, Bull Nakano is coming to beat you up.
I'm not trying to fight this person. No, I don't want that smoke.
Yeah. No.
And right out of the gate, you're kind of like, oh.
I already know I'm in a world of hurt. And then you see Bull Nakano and you're like, oh my God, I don't want anything to do with this. She's going to kill me. So, I would say if you're someone who's never seen wrestling before, like they just walk out and you see the nameplate and you go, oh, I know who this person's all about. And I think she really embodied that.
And not to date myself, I've been blessed in this career to have ref a lot of great ones. And Bull Nakano, I got a chance to work with her in the ring. She was awesome. Well, let me put it this way. I got to work with Mae Young and Moolah. So that's how old I am. So, you know,
Wait, there's like 8 decades worth of people who've worked with those two. But
at least I wasn't in the room when they gave birth to the hand. Let's put it that way.
Yes, that's it. You weren't helping deliver.
No. Mark Henry literally almost threw up in that segment.
The hand segment, I think, will go is for me one of the first things I think about when I think of all the like cringy stuff in pro wrestling. I'm like, oh, I can't believe
I can't believe they went there. Even us watching on the monitor backstage, we're going, ooh, do you think we maybe crossed the line here?
Let's talk a little bit about AEW. We covered it a bit on Monday's show, but because this is the AEW show, I think it'd be good for us to go back and talk just briefly about Revolution. Now, obviously it's a few days in the rearview mirror, so we don't need to spend a ton of time on it, but for those of you in the chat, by the way, if you weren't there for the Monday show, let me know what you thought of Revolution. I thought it was one of their best pay-per-views in a little bit. It felt like it all kind of came together, felt like a lot of matches mattered. Obviously, I think it knocked out of the park at the end. Issa, what were your thoughts on Revolution?
I mean, outside of possibly the most perfect send-off, not just match, the entire thing, from the video packages played, even on the pre-show, because they did manage to play a different video package for Sting than the video package that he sat down and watched during the montage before he came out, to his sons being a part of it. I'm sorry, that has to be up there in the top 3 send-offs that I ever seen. It was emotional. The fans were into it. It was so deserved when his sons came out. Like, it was just perfect. Like, it was in a weird, I romanticized wrestling, and this was one of those moments that you go like, oh, that was incredible, and I'm going to remember it for a long time. And I think AEW should give itself its flowers for how they booked this entire thing. I think the Young Bucks deserve their flowers because they were perfect on their role here. I love that they let Sting go out on top, even though I heard he was reluctant. He said he was reluctant in the press conference afterwards. I love that. I love Ospreay versus Takeshita. That match was on a different level. It was on a different atmosphere. And if you want to make an impact, like Ospreay just showed up and told everybody who he is if you weren't familiar with him at this point. I like the pay-per-view. I mean, for me, if I got to give you my underwhelming, is that All-Star Scramble didn't feel like it needed to be there. And I was slightly overwhelmed by the women's match just because they had a story and I just didn't know that the match itself lived up to the big build-up that we finally have for a women's match. But yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the best pay-per-views they put on in a while. I have fun watching it. I enjoyed it. And overall, really, really good stuff.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think my big takeaway, because again, everyone says I like everything. I will say it was a bit on the long side. That's something that I still think that they need to work on a little bit. But I just felt like the whole show, and maybe it's because, you know, they always say how you end a lot of times is how you remember the show. And maybe it was that triple threat for the world title and then the that Sting farewell. Issa, I'm with you. I think that maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but that might be the best send off of all time. That might be one of the best retirements ever. Again, I have not put a ton of thought into that. Maybe people in the chat will remind me of some, but I thought Ric Flair's was great in WWE. I thought this one, though, just something about it, Jimmy. I said on Monday, I felt like a kid watching this. I felt like Kid Jack watching Sting as a kid, and I'm so glad he won, and I'm so glad it was just a feel-good moment. And for all the grief we gave the Bucks when they were first looking like the guys who were going to face Sting at the end, East is right. They played the part expertly. It was just a perfect way to end it.
No, I agree. I like the way they ended it. And you're right. They had to probably talk Sting into doing it this way because Sting is a very humble guy. He's not one of those guys that played politics in the back and tried to sway. If anything, he was a little bit too humble in the way he presented himself. So it was good that they were able to talk him into this, which I'm pretty sure they had to. Because usually, you know what they say, you when you go out, you help put someone else over by looking up at the lights and giving them the spotlight. I love the fact that they gave him the spotlight, gave him the ring, and gave him the attention. My only thing is I wish that they would have had that time at the end of the pay-per-view to show the rest of it.
It was such a weird ending. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it felt like he got cut off and you go, it left me going, no!
Yeah,
no, right. You know, but as far as the rest of the pay-per-view, I thought it was fairly solid. Yeah, like Issa, I thought that the scramble maybe didn't really need to be there. It took up a lot of time, and putting that the championship match before the Sting match, that's a tough spot. That's a tough spot to be in because people are anticipating. But I will give the crowd credit. It was a long pay-per-view. They were there for the final match. They stuck with it, and I had my little things that. You know, that pick with my brain and go, why did this happen this way and why did this happen that way? But overall, I thought it was a solid pay-per-view.
There was a lot of tough spots here. I thought after I saw Ospreay and Takeshita, I was like, yeah, in the pay-per-view, who's going to follow that, right? Like, right. I felt like that was a very tough spot. Like you said, after the scramble was a tough spot to be on. Like, there was a couple of things that you were like, how are you going to follow that? I am glad there was a little bit of a misunderstanding in the beginning because on the pre-show, they announced the title match as the main event. I'm like, there's no way anybody but Sting is main eventing this. So it seemed to be a misunderstanding. But I wanted to go back to Jimmy mentioning how humble Sting is. And I know everybody now is making the rounds that Sting's son has a YouTube channel. So I sought it out and I checked it out today. And he has a gaming channel. He never talked about this. And you can tell how humble he is by how he raises his kid. And the kid is trying to explain to his audience, like, hey, I haven't been here because I was training for this, because I don't know if you know this, but my dad is a professional wrestler. He goes by the name of Sting. And I'm like, bro, we all know Sting. Like, he was saying so humbly and trying to explain to people who Sting is. Like, we're not over here, like, mind blown by it. But you can just tell by the way that family is, how humble Sting is as a human being. And he's doing it, like, that's how he raised his sons as well. But yeah, I agree with you in some of the things that you said. The ending for me, then when he said, I have a cue, and then he went off the air on Fight TV for me, and I'm like, what was that?
You know, I agree. I wish we saw it. I wish they were able to show the whole thing. But there was something kind of WCW-y about them getting cut off at the end. That almost felt right. I don't know. Like, it, for some reason, it almost felt appropriate, especially since we still are able to see what happened afterwards. I agree. I would have rather we just saw it, but again, there was something a little, that's kind of WCW probably would have done it. So it worked for me. But yeah, good, great show. I think AEW's definitely got a groove to what they're doing right now, and I think they've got a really good. They said they're making some changes a while back. I feel like more and more of those are happening. Let's get into the show. I do want to thank a lot of the folks who are here. Tyler D, Zook Enigma, like I said, saying AEW stepping up its game big time. Dylan Matthews, KOD, Ethan Cruz, Beer Money, Daniel Barry, I should say, Majestic Marie, Mike Martin, and everyone else. Appreciate you guys so much for being here. Tyler D, I see you have that super chat. I will save that for when we get to the Riho segment, because it's about Riho. Let's talk first. Overall, Jimmy, I want your thoughts on the new presentation we got tonight. New logo, new new stage setting, new intro theme. How did you like the update, the rebrand?
You know, it doesn't, it's one of those things for me that doesn't matter as much as the other presentation. I don't look at the entranceway as much as I do look at entrances, actual entrances and how they come out. They still have the dual entrance ways where it looks like the heels come out of one and the baby faces come out of the other. I don't know if I'm on board with that. It is different from other presentations out there, so that's cool. But I'm more focused on what I see in the ring and the storytelling aspect. And mm-hmm. that's what I concentrate on most. So I'm being honest here where, yes, I saw the new logo and the new stage setting, and I thought it didn't wow me. Let's put it that way. It didn't give me that... If I could do a Marvin the Martian impression for real quick, there, it didn't do that earth-shattering kaboom for me.
First, we got a Mae Young reference and a Marvin the Martian.
Oh,
reference.
Oh wait, I even have a Marvin the Martian cup too.
That's a great cup.
Giving me Clueless vibes right now with the Marvin the Martian.
I love the colors. I personally love the screens, which I think they did. Tastefully, it wasn't like on the turnbuckles and everything else. I thought it brightened things up a lot having it there at ringside, the LEDs. I like the colors. I like the brightness. It felt like a crisp, clean presentation. I got to admit, the word dynamite, how it's written, that logo doesn't wow me. That felt, personally, I wasn't really wowed, but I like the older one more in general. But the overall presentation, I really dug. What did you think of their new look?
It gave me NXT 2.0 vibes. Maybe it was the colors. I don't know what it was. It gave me NXT 2.0 vibes. But I do respect them changing their look. Like, this isn't the first time they've done mm-hmm. a bit of a rebrand, a bit of a something. And I do agree that every once in a while, you got to make a change. Just change the vibe, change the atmosphere of the show. It felt like we were stepping into, like, a new era, maybe Revolution, and now it's a reset. Not my vibe, but it's a vibe. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Burnercamp says Raw is War, best wrestling vibe ever. There was something about Raw is War. I'm kind of bummed out.
Very raw, very industrial, and I feel like all these colorful things. It doesn't give me we're gonna fight vibes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish they still had. I liked when Raw was split into the two shows. I mean, it was basically one show, but how it was like. Raw is War to start and then War Zone after a certain time. Or it might have been the other way around. I can't remember.
What about Raw Underground? Now, that's my style there.
Like Raw Underground, take my money.
All day, every day. All day, every day. I love Raw Underground. Don't come for me.
let us know in the chat. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts are on the new, just the look of AEW. Like I said, it does feel like they've been heading in this new direction, and I'm really enjoying where it's going. And in fact, we saw a lot of that, I thought, in the opening part of the show. Swerve Strickland comes out, says he doesn't know if he deserves to call it his house anymore, but people did believe in him, and people from Tacoma actually flew to see him and see him potentially win the championship at Revolution. Says he's going to take the title from Joe one way or the other. Joe comes out, says he wants to show the world what a champion really looks like. That's when Adam Cole comes out and talks trash. And he says there'll be a tag team match next week. Nope, it's going to happen right now. Swerve and Joe get the win over the Kingdom. And then Joe chokes out Swerve next week, Wardlow versus Samoa Joe. So, Jimmy... This is I can feel you about to say 10 pounds or 20 pounds of potatoes, 10 pound bag, lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I agree there was a lot of potatoes here, but in this case, I feel like those potatoes were delivered on a nice little conveyor belt and brought in order because it told the stories. And I felt like it made sense as opposed to just people coming out.
Here's the thing. Okay. I enjoyed Swerve coming out at the beginning and sounding emotional and it sounded like he was talking from the heart. Mm-hmm. That part I enjoyed. And then he started to get amped up when he started talking about Joe. You know, you have to up the level a little bit at the right times. And I thought he did that well. And Joey, when he comes out, everything he does is believable.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is when Adam Cole came out and they issued the challenge for a tag match and they said, let's do it next week. Right away, Tony Schiavone goes, I just heard in my earpiece from Tony Khan that this match has been made official. It's going to happen now. They didn't give it time to breathe. Give it a second. This is where I think they lack an authority figure, an on-air authority, a figure to come out and say and make these matches where he could at least come out onto the stage and say, look, I've listened to what you guys are saying. This match will happen, but it's going to happen right now. As opposed to doing it Tony Khan via Tony Schiavone, if that makes any kind of sense.
Because we're not going to cut to Tony Khan going, thanks, guys. The match is happening right now. Back to you.
At least it gives it some time. And it doesn't make it sound like Tony Khan is the amazing Kreskin, because it happens later on in the evening again. There's another reference that a lot of people might not get. The Amazing Kreskin was supposedly some mind reader up here in Canada. But anyways, he had his own TV show. So, hey, he must have been good. So that's the thing I didn't like about it. The match itself was fine. And at the ending, Joe choking out Swerve to set something up with them. But then next week we're getting Wardlow versus Joe. Why? It's almost like he's going to get Wardlow again. I don't want to see that happen. You know that some schmoz is going to happen. Something's going to happen at the ending of that match, because Joe can't lose the title just yet. But I don't know. That's the part that didn't sit well with me. The match, like I said, was fine, told a nice story. But then they said it's going to be Wardlow versus Joe next week, which makes, to me, no sense.
Well, I will say I was all ready to argue with you, all ready to say, no, this was great. But you did touch on the one thing I didn't like. And Issa, I want you to talk about this. Oh, I will say, actually, Joe won the right for the title shot. That's what that big match was on, Revolution. But the one thing I didn't like is Adam Cole is in a situation where he's injured. So he's already a little unthreatening because he's hurt and he's in a wheelchair.
He's being unthreatening. But he's unthreatening when he's healthy, Jack.
But to the thing I didn't like was that, hey, I'm pulling the strings. This is going to be when I say it is. And then, Tony Schiavone's like, no, actually, it's going to be right now. And I feel like you took someone who's already a little behind the eight ball on being threatening and made him get completely shoved aside. Like, nah, shut up. We're going to actually do it now. To me, that was the thing that I didn't like about this, is I felt like Adam Cole came off looking not very good.
I didn't like anything about this. Did this nothing for absolutely nobody. Maybe Joe. Joe did look great walking out of this, as he should. He is the world champ. Don't get me wrong. But Swerve coming out there with the pity party, not for me. Okay, you didn't lose the match. Hangman lost it. You should have come out there with more of an attitude, calling it BS. You know what I mean? But him, I get it. Maybe they're trying to turn him face, and I like heels, so maybe that is my issue. But the crowd chanting, you deserve what? The loss? What does he deserve? Because he didn't do nothing on Revolution. He hasn't done nothing. He's not the number one contender anymore. But okay, he's the over guy, right? So he comes out, Samoa Joe comes out. I like the exchange between them, but at the same time, I'm thinking what Jimmy said. Wait, Wardlow's the number one contender. Why are we getting this exchange right now? Outcome, the United Kingdom era, whatever, undisputed. Anyways, I cannot take Adam Cole seriously. Adam Cole, no. I told you, I find him unthreatening when he's healthy. I think Adam Cole has to work double as hard to come out as believable and threatening when he's healthy, let alone from a wheelchair. I think all of these guys surrounding him, taking orders from him, look dumb taking orders from him, especially Wardlow. Well, maybe he'll turn. We'll see what happens, right? But they make the match. We have the match. He chokes out Swerve to then say, by the way, you kill all the momentum that the Undisputed Kingdom created at Revolution, because you actually managed to put them over. Roddy won a title. Wardlow won. So it did feel like a Revolution. Maybe we're turning things around for them slowly. Yeah, today that went to hell. And I feel like it's going to happen again next week, because Wardlow's not beating Samoa Joe. They're setting up Samoa Joe for Swerve. He's just a stepping stone here. Did this absolutely nothing but nobody but Samoa Joe. At least I'm happy with that, because I do like Samoa Joe as champion. I didn't think it was his time to lose yet, but I didn't like seeing Swerve so about it. No, he should have came out there and said he's BS and he's tired of Hangman, getting involved in his business. He should have been a one-on-one. I don't know. I feel like he should have had a bigger biting his bark tonight, and he just was just waiting for everybody to pity him. I didn't like it. Sorry.
So I disagree. I love the fact that he came out there, and I thought he was more accessible to the fans than he's ever been before in this promo. I think he was made. That was official. That yes, we are cheering for him. And as a Tacoma guy, I'm from Tacoma. I was very excited to hear him represent
Tacoma. We were cheering for him. He didn't need to be accessible to the fans. We were cheering for him already. But there's no need to do this.
This was his way. I mean, you've got to say stuff to say, look, I'm doing this for you. Everyone
No, you don't got to say anything. There's people that say, you know what? Then you become Cody Rhodes, who just talks a lot and doesn't win anything.
Cody Rhodes, the most over person in pro wrestling right now.
How many titles has he won?
Or like a John Cena, or a lot of folks do that. But I do got to say, I know people who know Swerve who flew out from Tacoma. So that was not just a line. That actually happened. I know for a fact it happened. So
a lot of people, Revolution was a very big traveling show. I did notice that a lot of people flew in. Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. The one thing I really did like about Swerve's promo was that he acknowledged the fact that he had done some reprehensible things in the past. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the reason why he's paying for it now. You know, it's kind of like that payback. Karma is a big B. You know what I mean?
I did like that line because he was like, you know, I lost, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, when he acknowledged that, I was like, okay, that does make sense that he's going back and saying, well, maybe I'm not the most deserving right now, but I'm trying. I did like that. Mm-hmm.
I think that what we're going to see here, I also enjoyed there's a little bit of storytelling there in the match where Swerve tags himself in and then gets the win. And Joe's none too happy that Swerve kind of showed him up in the match. So I love that.
I wouldn't want to be tagged in. You do the work for me. You know what I mean? This match is nothing for Joe. He shouldn't be mad about it.
He took it a little personally. And so he chokes out Swerve. There is the story there with Wardlow. I got a feeling Swerve's going to get involved next week. I got a feeling we're not going to get a straight up end to that situation. I got a feeling the next step in the road is Wardlow, Swerve, and then Joe probably has some other issue.
And that's what I don't want to see happen. Again, Wardlow, here's a guy that they missed the boat on the first time around. This guy could have had the rocket strapped to him. And we see now that he's getting better on the mic. He's starting to get to that level. And if you derail this next week by having like the run in by Swerve or whatever they do to get through this match to keep the title on Joe, I think it kills his momentum big time. It's bad enough they put him with the group to begin with, I think. But if this happens next week, I think it's not good for Wardlow.
This is where I think we're a little unfair sometimes, is because everyone says Wardlow needs to be the guy. He needs to be in that world title picture. He needs to get pushed. He's winning matches. He's going on to the world title. And now we're upset because it's not going the way we want it to. I feel like we also said we didn't want to see him having matches with nobodies. Here he is. At what point is it? Can they not win with Wardlow?
It's kind of a mix here because I think it's feast or famine in people's mentalities. I just think that they went from A to Z too quickly. They could have built up a match with Wardlow for the world championship. Take their time, let the other story play out before you bring him into the mix, and maybe have him being really PO'd at the fact that he's not getting that opportunity. Hey, I won the match. I earned the right. Kind of like, not to bring it back to the Royal Rumble in WWE, kind of like Cody said, I won the Royal Rumble. I get to choose who I get to face and when. But with Wardlow winning this match, you know, he gets that opportunity, but have it pushed down where he gets really upset at the fact that he's not getting that opportunity yet.
Well, I got to say this about Wardlow. This will be my last thing on Wardlow. And I praise people a lot, but this is something I rarely say. And it's because it's a very high honor. And Wardlow's hair tonight, man, chef's kiss, looking great, Wardlow. Your hair, amazing job there. What, Issa, you disagree?
My God, yes, I disagree. It's terrible. He looked like a bee stung his eye.
Well, that's not his hair.
The hair is terrible. The hair has been terrible since they did the whole hair cutting angle.
Okay, in the chat and in the comments, I need you guys to pick a
please
side.
Please tell Jack how delusional he is.
Wardlow's hair, great or not?
Jimmy's hair is better than what Wardlow had out there tonight. Please.
Oh, I'll thank you for that because I have no room to talk about somebody's hair. Let's
Angie
put it that
says
way.
Awful hair. Angie, you haven't talked all day,
New hair for Wardlow, please. Please, you're crazy.
Angie, you didn't talk the whole time, and suddenly we talk about Wardlow's hair, and you come chiming in. What? That's not fair.
I'm in the middle. I'm between you two right now. I should be wearing my ref shirt.
Boy. Wardlow hair is the best. You guys have no idea what good hair is.
No, neither do you.
I did back in the day. I could show you a picture. I did back in the day.
I used to have respect for your hair game, but I apologize, Jack.
As Adam Copeland used to call it back in the day, I had the best frolic going.
You did have a pretty good frolic. speaking of good hair, we got a Hook segment and a Hook match. That's a good transition, right? We get an interview with Renee, who's trying
from bad to worse. Is that what you're trying to do with the hair? Because that is even worse. Don't get me started on that one.
So Renee's trying to talk to Hook. I don't get Hook's hair, but people seem to like it. So I'm gonna roll with
people
it.
And what's wrong with them?
The young kids, the children these days, the guys that say bet instead of yes. Anyways, he's trying to talk to Renee, but Jericho comes in and talks about history with Taz. We get the Hook versus Brian Cage match. Weapons are involved. Thumbtacks are involved. Eventually, Hook gets the win, even though he gets slammed backwards on some thumbtacks. Post-match, Gates of Agony come out, attack Hook, and they get chased off by Jericho. Jimmy, this one, there was a lot of potatoes. I'm going to give you potatoes on this one. I give you potatoes. Yeah. But I want to start at the very beginning. One thing I did enjoy about this, and what I'm enjoying about Jericho, is the talk, how he's kind of bringing up history a lot lately, and how people and their kids and the people he's had matches with in the past, and finding that connection there. I'm enjoying that with Jericho. What are your thoughts on Jericho's tie to this, and then the match and the segments and kind of how this whole thing broke down?
No, I totally agree. Giving a backstory and giving that history, that's one thing that's been lacking with a lot of wrestling today, and they're starting to do that more around all companies, and especially with someone like Jericho, who's great at telling these stories and getting people to go, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't know this, and getting people invested that way. As for the match itself, you know, it was your typical hardcore match, basically, which the crowd was really into. The thing about it, though, is, look, I get that Hook is the guy that's, you know, absorbing all this punishment and fighting adversity and yada, yada, and he's going to overcome and stuff like that. Hey, but when he hooked on that hold at the end, the rear choke, whatever you want to call it, and he got back, he dropped, and the Cage dropped back on the thumbtacks, and he no-sold the thumbtacks and, you know, held that hold on. That's when, yes, I get it's a hardcore match and whatever, but you talk about suspension of disbelief. Come on, man. You just landed in a pile of thumbtacks. You can't sell it a little bit? Look, they could have done something where it releases the hold, gets it back on, and then gets him to pass out that way. But at least give us something that this actually affected him, you know, to some extent. That's what, man, it just bothered me. It just bothered me that he absolutely no-sold the fact that he just got dropped on a bunch of thumbtacks.
Well, Issa, you are a historian of violence and hardcore matches, and you know your way around dangerous situations like this. I thought my takeaway from this was that Hook is so awesome and is so tough that even though he fell in the thumbtacks, he's able to keep the choke on. You're asking what? I guess you felt differently.
Yeah, I can't stand seeing a guy. It's just not visually believable. And you put yourself in a situation where you can make it visually believable by having a hardcore match and getting Hook to attack this guy that's like three times his size. I think Brian Cage takes dumps bigger than Hook, okay? So this guy should not be selling anything for Hook. But you have a situation there.
No, no, thank you.
You have a situation there.
Hook,
where you're
come in here. I got to measure something.
Oh, man. Oh.
I'm sorry. You can put Hook in the situation of winning by making this a true hardcore match and using all of these tools available to him to take down. The guy have written in his pants Wolverine. Okay, that's what his fans say. And yet Hook just puts a hold on him and takes him down so easily. It was just stupid. It's not visually believable. Same thing. We'll get into it later. But Statlander and Riho, same freaking thing. It just looks stupid. I cannot suspend my disbelief for nothing. Now, if Hook was beating him the hell up with like all kinds of tools and things that he was bringing from the outside, then I believe it. But the way that match ended is stupid. It just makes no sense. Brian Cage is just completely he's never going to win anything. I do not buy him as anything. Get him off my TV. That's how I feel about him after that. Also, why was Jericho trying to remind us of the All-Star Scramble? Like, I forgot about that match, and he's out here reminding us that who cheated him. Nobody watched. Nobody cared, bro. Like, don't bring it back up. We don't want to think about it.
The thing that I took away from this that I wasn't really a fan of was actually the post-match. And I love the Gates of Agony, and I think those guys are guys I'd love to see in the tag team tournament, which we'll talk about later. I think that they have a look, and they're great. But they're still tied to the Mogul Embassy. They're still loosely tied to Swerve and Brian Cage. And I feel like we're trying to get to a point where we're supposed to love Swerve and Nana. Having these guys come out attacking Hook, who is universally loved by the AEW fans, is not a good thing to have happen unless there's going to be something needs to happen. Like, it just didn't seem like it fit the group. You know what I mean? Like this, that I wasn't a fan of. I get Jericho coming out, and I get the need to have Jericho need to save Hook from somebody. And I understand Cage is related to them and everything, but I feel like they did themselves no favors in how I'm supposed to view Nana and Swerve when they're jumping people after the match.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And other things that I hate to bring it back to production and angle shots and what camera angles they use and stuff like that. You know me, I can't help but notice the people in the striped shirts. And at the end of that match, when you saw Jericho standing in the ring behind Hook, helping defend him, and Hook selling on the bottom rope there, and the referee got in the shot from the handheld camera and blocked that angle, and you couldn't see them. That's when whoever's producing in the truck needs to be quick on the ball and cut to a different camera angle where you can see them. And, you know, you could put the blame on the referee, which I do a lot of times. And he's got to be cognizant of where he's standing at times. But at the same time, the people in the truck have to be cognizant of people getting in the way and be quick to change camera angles.
That truck is a thankless job and a very stressful place. I've had never at like a place like WWE or AEW, but I've been on inside the truck at wrestling shows, and the guys switching the cameras, they deserve a round of applause, because they've got to not only see what's on the screen, but they got to look at the other screens. And then, like you said, Jimmy, be able to like see this is happening, see what's about to happen, tell this camera to get into this place so that they can get the. It's crazy the multitasking you got to be able to do.
It is so fascinating. It is so fascinating. I sat by production, like the last pay-per-view for WWC, and it was crazy. And there was one, Jimmy, I actually thought about you. There was one of the matches that the ref's communicator was not working. So the referee girl could not hear anything. And they're like, try to send it home. And they couldn't realize that she couldn't hear it. Match goes overtime. Everybody's freaking out. And I'm just over there with my live mic that they're like, do not allow any noises on that mic. And I'm just over there covering the mic, like going crazy. So fascinating. That night, I learned more about wrestling business, the behind the scenes, that I have in the last probably 7 years that I have been covering it. It was insane. Like, I give so much props to the people that do that.
Yeah, and I could go on and on about, you know, when we finally got the IFBs, because before then you'd look for time cues from the timekeeper. So, you know, you'd have to look around the guy and the lower camera angles and stuff like that. And once we got the IFBs, it was both a blessing and a curse. Both, because sometimes, you know, they're obviously there to give you the time cues and let you know where you need to go and that sort of things. And hey, tell the guys they got to go and that sort of stuff. But at the same time, they're relaying you stuff to relay to the talent. And sometimes the talent doesn't want to hear it, especially if it's not the person giving the time cues. It's the producer of the match, the agent, saying, hey, tell the guys to do this. And I knew enough to go, hey, so-and-so said they want you to do this. This isn't coming from me. You know, I've been told to shut the F up a few times. Let's put it that way.
It's a crazy job. It really is. Like, people don't. I'm telling you, I feel like I learned so much more in one night than I have in like years of covering. Because you think you know, but when you see it all in action and play out, it's insanity.
That's why when some people will say like, "Oh, this person didn't do something they were supposed to," or whatever, I'm like, I try to be like a little gracious. Kind of, you have no idea what may have just been told to them or how that was supposed to go. You know, there's so many moving pieces that.
That's also been my opinion in this whole Sammy Guevara suspension thing over the whole Jeff Hardy thing, because like I feel like that is such a conversation piece for everybody to have, because I don't think it's up to the wrestlers to stop the match. If somebody's concussed, what is the concussion protocol? What did the referee say today? Did they continue? Like, I had so many questions just from reading that headline alone, just based on what you know that goes on behind the scenes. The wrestlers don't stop the match. You know what I mean?
But I understand where you're coming from, Issa, but the concussion protocol and that sort of stuff was being implemented even before I left WWE, where they were trying to show us to recognize signs. And we were told at the time, you know, if you see.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Something that looks off, it's okay to take the time to check it out. And if you feel in today's day and age, they have a doctor ringside,
right? Medical but that's my point. It's like
so the referee should be cognizant of the situation, especially with something that looked as violent as that did.
Yeah,
you know, with the knee to the head, and Jeff, you knew he was on wobbly legs and that sort of thing. It's his job to get in there, assess the situation, try to assess the situation, and then go to the expert. Say, hold on a second, let the guy who knows check it out. And, you know, Doc Sampson, in this case, should have been called into the ring to look at Jeff. And they went right into the finish. And I know the old school mentality is, look, regardless, we got to get to the finish. We got to get it done. I've been in that situation.
Isn't that what they did with Moxley when Moxley got his concussion in the ring, that it came to the point that Moxley had to tell the referee, count it, and then they had to do the finisher again? Remember? Well, I don't know. Like, I get where you're coming from, but I don't know that maybe they have. I don't know about AWs and the rule books, right? But I don't know that they have established that they have followed multiple occasions that you can discipline one wrestler by saying, hey, you didn't follow the protocols, when we've seen it happen multiple times, and every time something different has been done about it. But I think it's a conversation starter or a debate starter, because we don't know the situation, but based on what we know in the history that we've seen in AEW, it's like, who was responsible for that happening and the match not being stopped, really?
Exactly, because not to peel the curtain back too much, but we used to have a sign that we used to do with the talent to check and see if they're okay. And if they responded back in the correct manner, then that was okay. And if they didn't, because we didn't have someone ringside at the time, medical staff, you know, you throw up the X. Mm-hmm. And that's when the other talent would know and the people in the back would know. And that's when they would go, okay, hold on a sec here. Take your time, relax. Something is wrong.
So in any case, I feel like you can't. I see people talk on Twitter like they know everything that happens sometimes. I just feel like you got to take a step back.
For all we know, Jeff could have told Paul Turner, hey, I'm okay to go.
Yeah.
And you know, what do you do in that situation? But sometimes the referee has to, in today's day and age, it was different back in the day where you didn't speak up because, you know, you would get tremendous heat, especially from the locker room. Nowadays, it's more of a different situation where you have to try and protect the talent from themselves.
Well, as we move on, there is a tag team tournament that has now been declared for the vacated tag team championships. Sounds like the first team that is officially entered is going to be Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. They have a match on Rampage coming up that's not in the tournament. You know, Issa, I know tournaments aren't exactly a rarity in pro wrestling these days, but I think in this case, it makes sense. Tag team titles. Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, or Orange Cassidy, Trent, first one's in there. feels like FTR and Young Bucks are going to be in there as well. Any teams that you'd like to see in there, or who would you like to see come out on top of this one? Any thoughts on the tournament?
I mean, I'm going to assume that Moxley and Claudio might be in this just based on the fact that they got that big win over FTR and they're not really doing anything with them singles-wise. I don't see why you wouldn't throw them in there. I think they could make it pretty far into the tournament. And as far as the tournament goes, I think they killed it with the last tournament, that championship tournament that they did. Mm-hmm. I thought AEW did an excellent job, and it's a good way to put matches in there where you don't need a storyline. Lazy, yes, but did it work? I think it did. So hopefully they do justice with this one as well, because the last one, I was very happy with how that one turned out.
From a marketing standpoint, I like how they subtly kind of compared this to March Madness, which here in the States is a big deal coming up here in a few weeks. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on the tournament, but also, in my opinion, FTR has to win it. I mean, because they look pretty bad against Blackpool Combat Club, frankly. They took like 3 L's in a row to that team. Well, not Dax lost a one-on-one, then a tie, then they lost, and they're the tag team specialists. So I feel like they kind of have to win to get some of their buzz back. What are your thoughts on tag team tournament?
Now, I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see FTR come out with the tag team titles, because these guys are just awesome. They're really good and could, again, carry that tag team division and represent it well. And if Mox and Claudio are not in the tournament for whatever reason, at least there's now a challenger for those titles with a backstory. Hey, you guys won the tag team tournament for the championship. We beat you guys 3 times. You guys don't deserve those titles. We do. There's at least a story you can build from there. Yes, like Issa said, sometimes it's viewed as, oh, let's just do a tournament and stuff like that. Maybe I see with my fantasy pencil, which I have close by at all times, I might have liked to have seen like Cody Darby come up with the promo that he did about, you know, relinquishing the title because he could never have a partner I know we're going to get to that later.
Yeah.
Never have a partner that could compare with someone like Sting. And I understand that, but that's when you have the Bucks come out and say, look, you are one half of the tag team championship. You cannot relinquish that title because that will do injustice to Sting. So you need a tag team partner. You're not going to get to pick it. We do. We get to pick your part. Get some more heat out of the situation that way. I don't know. I think that might have been a different angle to go in, and maybe a little bit of a left turn to get more heat on the Bucks, if that's possible, because they are getting some good heat right now.
Yeah. Corey Pride in the chat says, Bucks beat up Sting's sons. Give them the titles, huh? And then Stephen Camp says, sad part, the Bucks will probably win the tag titles. Issa, a lot of people are just assuming that they're the ones who are going to win the championships. One, I feel like if they do have a lot of heat right now for everything they've been doing. They do have a story as opposed to, unfortunately, a lot of other tag teams. But also, haven't we learned yet after last WrestleMania, for instance, you can't count your chickens before they hatch with this stuff. You just never know.
Yeah, I don't see them winning, if I'm being honest with you. I think if the end game was the Bucks with the titles and heat, then let them win on Sunday. You know what I mean? The send-off would have still been, you know, emotional and all that. If that's the end game, I don't see that happening. The Young Bucks came out, and while they said they're in the tournament, they had a bigger issue to take care of, and I just see the Young Bucks going in a different direction here. I think building the new elite is going to be their new focus, not the tag team championships. I don't see them winning it. I see an FTR, I see even a Claudio and a Mox winning it before that. But I do agree with Jimmy, in which I thought that they were going to make Darby find a new partner, but we all know he has Mount Everest to train for. So you don't have time to be looking for a partner.
Yeah, we'll talk about why I don't think the Young Bucks are going to win it in just a second myself. But Majestic Marie, by the way, go ahead and type your comment. We got Killswitch versus Daddy Magic Matt Menard.
I forgot this happened.
You know what? So Killswitch gets the win. There's an attack on Daniel Garcia. Then Adam Copeland comes back, chases Christian out of the building, and says we're going to get an I Quit match for the title.
Jack, hold up. Edge comes out, chases Christian out of the building. Christian goes Grand Theft Auto on Adam Copeland. kicks the driver out of the car and steals the car. That is that's a crime.
That is a crime. No. It's a couple of them, I think.
The way you just downplay that, like, this man kicked the driver off and took off in this car. That was my favorite part of the whole show.
Only in some states. Well, then I want you to. So my first thing here is then, Issa, talk to me about this and talk to me how I think we are at a borderline place where if you're like the patriarchy should almost be the only group in AEW, because I think right now Christian and this group are by far they are the bad guys. I want to see Christian get beat up more than anybody else in pro wrestling right now. He is.
Yep.
This might be the best he's ever been.
I don't want to see him get beat up. I just want to see him, you know, keep finding new victims. I love how his whole family is playing up to the part. There was something about it that just felt right. Even with Nick Wayne's mom wearing the mother shirt, they just look good together. I was like, man, the way they have come together. I didn't know about the inclusion of her back on the beginning. I was here with you guys. I was like, I don't know if we need to put her in here. She's starting to work because she's not doing that much, but she works. She's in there. She's a figure of the family. It kind of feels like they go together now. I don't have a lot to say about the match. It did feel like this match was happening to set something up, and that's what we got out of this. But I do got to say, the patriarchy, it just feels right. They feel right. They're the best heels in AEW right now, because I find myself cheering for a Samoa Joe or a Swerve, which I don't know where he's at right now. We're in the tweener line with Swerve, right? But with Christian Cage, he's just a heel now. I enjoy it, but you guys know how I like my wrestlers, Evil. Mm-hmm. But you do want to see him get beat up. You do get excited when you see, you know, Adam Copeland come out there and get their revenge. And I love the fact that they're going to set an I Quit match for Toronto. What better place for this to just be? Mm-hmm. The energy in the building is going to be crazy for these two to have this I Quit match. I cannot wait to see it. And the Grand Theft Auto moment, chef kiss.
The thing they thought they missed, I don't know whether it'd be on commentary or where they need to mention this, but you've got Christian out there who has a thing he likes to talk about. You've got a guy who goes by Daddy Magic against a wrestler named Kill Switch. I mean, he talks about dead dads all the time. This is it's right there on a platter for you. You're gonna kill a dad here. You're gonna have one more person you can talk about. This is Jimmy, what were your thoughts about this one? I thought this was a perfect middle of the show, build a big storyline, executed well situation.
No, I thought it was executed well, because basically with Daddy Magic, it was, I hate to, no disrespect, buddy, but it was a glorified enhancement match to get Kill Switch over. I still want to call him Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard
Man,
for me.
I like
to
Kill Switch. I think Kill Switch sounds more badass.
It grew on me.
Pretty fast. Yeah.
At first I was like, no, don't do that. And now it's like, yeah, now I kind of get it. I kind of like it. And Christian on commentary is just too much. You just want to hate the guy so badly. But at the same time, it's entertaining. And that's the hard part for me, because I am entertained by his evilness. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of weird in my mind, you know what I mean? But the perfect foil and, you know, and the return of Adam Copeland made sense. It was a surprise. You didn't see it coming, you know, with Daniel Garcia getting taken out and things that connect, because Mommy took him out with the low blow. She went for it again. He blocked it.
Yeah.
You know, brings back, you know, goes full circle, that sort of thing. And then chasing Christian out of the building. We all know that Adam probably could have caught him if he wanted to, but hey.
Yeah.
Could he because he was a little bit out of breath when he was cutting his promo.
Before
I was concerned about him.
Before he jumped out of that at ringside, there's a moment where it was like, oh, Adam is definitely
gonna catch him. Yeah.
But no, good on them. And like you said, he said the perfect place to do it right here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You have to get the whole thing in there, because anytime a U.S. based company announces someone from Canada, you have to put the entire the city, the province, and the actual country into the the announcement. Yeah. So because Bret Hart back in the day was from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just Calgary, right. Alberta.
Well, we had the Young Bucks come out, and they have a couple announcements to make. And the first is that Adam Page is suspended indefinitely without pay from the Elite.
You know, the referees.
mm-hmm. for beating up referees. Kenny Omega is fired from the Elite for not making his dates. That's when Eddie Kingston comes out and throws money at the Bucks because he wants to talk trash about him, and he's going to get fined so anyways. Good.
You're going to fine me? Here you go.
Yeah,
such good stuff. And then a guy shows up. A guy by the name of Okada shows up, and we think he's going to help Eddie Kingston, but he absolutely does not. This was something a lot of people were buzzing about for a while, Jimmy, and this one, I have a lot of questions about this one. And Majestic Maria, I'm going to mention your comment in a second, but Jimmy, just your thoughts on these two being fired from the Elite and Okada joining the Elite.
I like the fact that they got fired from the Elite. The fact that they felt sorry for Hangman for beating up referees, and I'd like to get into a little bit of that for a second, if I could just get off track. I get it. You're suspended for assaulting a referee, but he didn't have to give 20 elbows to the back of the head. He's a referee. One vicious punch, knockout, and throw him out of the ring. That's all it needed to be. It didn't have to be that montage of boom, 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 boom. Anyways, that's just me.
It was so excessive.
Yeah, it didn't need to happen. It just, like I said, with Paul Turner, he pulled him out, let him take his bump. He sold the back of his head. Perfect. That was fine. But the 20 punches to the back of the head, no. You're a big, huge, and I get the idea people are going to say, but that's the evil part of it, that he didn't have to do 20 punches, but he did. No, just the one would have been sufficed, and just get it out of the way.
Well, but that's why he's suspended.
Yeah, but you could have suspended him for the one punch. That's all, you know, one good one. Knock him out.
You refs always sticking together.
I know. Yeah, brothers in stripes. What can I tell you? But, you know, and the suspension of Kenny Omega, those who read online understand the fact that Kenny is sick and he has some medical issues that he needs to deal with. So that gives him more heat. Like you said, I liked Eddie coming out and saying, hey, you're going to find me for talking trash? Here you go. Throw the money. That was perfect. That was awesome because that's Kenny. That feels like him.
Eddie, sorry, I'm getting him
confused here. Too many ref bumps in my right. Maybe I've been hitting the head too many times. But you're waiting for this big debut of Okada, and it should have been a grand entrance. It just didn't feel like it was a grand entrance. Him coming in and turning on Eddie the way he did just didn't have that. Here we go again. Earth-shattering kaboom. Yes, he got the great pop when he came out and that sort of thing, but I was expecting so much more from this debut. I didn't expect it tonight, and I wanted to feel more from it, and I didn't get enough out of it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Majestic Marie says, I'm so sad. I can only make one show, and I pick Collision tomorrow for Eddie. Because that's where he's been. Nope, he was on tonight. I'm so upset. Love you all. Majestic Marie.
Maybe he'll be on Collision, girl. You never know.
Yeah, hopefully he'll still be there. Hopefully he'll show up. And it, Tony, if you're watching this, or Young Bucks, if you're watching this, do Majestic Marie a favor and have Eddie Kingston at least show up and cut a promo. It's going to be good regardless. So have him out there. Issa, I want your thoughts on this. I'll be honest. If this was before the Sting match, I would have been completely upset about how this all unfolded. I'd be like, this didn't work for me. But seeing how the Bucks have used this character and actually got to a very good endpoint, I'm going to use that dreaded phrase. I'm going to let it play out. How did you feel?
I felt intrigued. I like what they came out and said. I love the trolling. I feel like if you're a hardcore wrestling fan like we are, and you know what's going on with Kenny Omega, you kind of chuckle when they say, we don't even know why he hasn't been here, when you're like, bro, the dude is sick, like, you know, it's a serious issue. Eddie Kingston coming out, I feel like there was a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions for me in this segment. Number one, I wish it would have not leaked. It was all over my social media today that he was expected to be there. So at this point, you're just expecting for it to happen. And I prefer when we have the things that we know are going to happen, but they don't need to be said. Like, we know what's going to happen next week, right? I feel like everybody knows what big business in Boston is about.
It better happen.
Right. But they did the same thing with the First Dance and CM Punk. It wasn't said. We all knew what was coming, and it still felt good. is leaked all over the socials today. I ran into it without even wanting to run into it. So I think that took away from it. And to Jimmy's point, you know, you expect this grand interest of this grand moment, and it doesn't happen. So I'm sitting here thinking at that moment that he's coming out to help Eddie Kingston. Now, a lot of people in the chat are pointing out how they've been friends forever. I hate to break it to you. Not everybody's watching what goes out outside of AEW or WWE. That's just not how the market works here in the United States. So people don't know that. People don't know that. They're talking about the tag team tournament. I'm assuming Okada's going to team up with Eddie Kingston and they're going to throw them in the tournament, and I'm already disappointed. And then he turns. And that's when I'm like, all right. You know, not what I wanted. I wish I didn't know he was coming today, but I'm intrigued. I'm interested. Like you, Jack, I'm going to let it play out. I can nitpick at it, but they swerved me well enough to where I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that. But do I feel like he should have been made felt a bigger deal? Yes, I feel like the stare down, and we'll get into that later, between Brian and Ospreay felt like a bigger deal than Okada tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like one of my takeaways I thought was very interesting is they said that Adam Page was indefinitely suspended and Kenny Omega was fired. And I wonder if down the road we're going to see a reason for the difference in how they were designated, or if that's just them being silly.
Interesting wording. Yes, interesting wording.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's...
Not to cut you off, Jack, but they said he was suspended from the Elite.
Yes.
He didn't say he was suspended from AEW.
Right. So that makes me very curious of what that's going to mean. Also, what I like about the Okada turn, I agree. I felt like it didn't pop as much as I would have liked. Because again, Issa, I also saw that it was going to happen. I was kind of expecting it. But we have so many times where like this person should just come in and win a lot of matches and be dominant. But that's kind of what Ospreay is doing right now. We've already got some people that need to be dominant. I don't think you can have him come in and be dominant and not feel like half the card wins every time and the other half loses all the time. So this is different, though. Now I'm very curious. What is next? What is the next bit of the story? So they got
you don't give Eddie Kingston that win over Brian for him to just go and feel like a downgrade on his next program. And Okada does feel like it will be an upgrade for his next program. So it makes sense why Eddie ended up getting that respect from Brian. And Brian is also moving on to bigger, better things. So that is smart booking on all ends. Everybody came out a winner out of Brian and Eddie Kingston if they're moving on to Ospreay and Okada programs individually.
My fantasy booking, I don't know if it's even possible. I don't know what the timetables are, but my fantasy booking is Eddie Kingston is going to find help against those three from Adam Page and Kenny Omega reuniting as friends.
I like that. My fantasy booking is Brian doesn't get in during the Ospreay match.
So we're getting long on time, so we're going to kind of knock out some of these things. Chris Statlander with Willow Nightingale and Stokely Hathaway takes on Riho. Riho gets the win after Statlander does not want to use the chain. We did have a super chat. I said I was going to bring it up. Tyler D said at the very beginning, thank you for being patient, Tyler D said, why is Riho on my TV? Jay White has to step forward. Jimmy, Chris Statlander here is someone who I feel like she just destroyed Riho through this. And I get that that's kind of Riho's thing is she's smaller. She gets destroyed and then she gets to win at the end. But I feel like Statlander is one of these people who is great. Just let her be. I feel like we're overthinking it with her. Like some people need a character. I know we always say that the women's division needs story. So I'm glad she has a story, but like
there
she's
is
the
a
one
story.
That should just be rocking.
She hasn't been on TV for weeks and now she's here. That's her story.
Mm. Well, she's been not on Dynamite, but she's been on the other shows. She should have there should be a video package that explains that Stokely Hathaway is trying to get her to cheat and she's not into it. And Will is kind of a part of that group. But Jimmy, what were your takeaways on this one?
Again, they are trying to tell a story where Chris is not trying to cheat. And again, going back to the distraction of the referee, that was far too long. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they could have done is have the referee actually turn around and see her with the chain and see her conflicted, whether she should use it or not. And the referee says, hey, you know, or something to the effect of, if you use that chain, you'll be disqualified. And her going, yes, I know. I don't want to do this. You know, make it a little bit better because it's putting the heat on the wrong person again by having that distraction too long. And again, the roll up of death after we've seen tonight so many devastating maneuvers that could have been finishes to matches. And then the roll up. Yes, there is a time and place to use a roll up for a finish. I didn't think this was the right time. Yes, I get it. She got surprised because she, you know, conflicted with the chain and that sort of thing. But I'm tired of the roll up being used as a scapegoat. Yeah. To get out of a match.
Yeah. This one, Issa, any thoughts on this? I know we're running a little long here, and
it's a no for me, dog. We can move on.
Okay, cool. We get to Darby Allin comes out and gets a pretty heartfelt thank you to everybody. Doesn't know if he's coming back from Mount Everest. But then Jay White comes out and just twists the knife and antagonizes Darby Allin about how Sting's not there anymore. And then Darby kind of mocks Jay White for not accomplishing anything in AEW.
Issa, yeah, Darby kind of owned him.
Issa, this is Jay White wasn't acting like Bang Bang Scissor Gang here. He was acting like mean bad guy Jay White. And I've always said, I feel like Jay White could be one of their top bad guys in AEW. Yeah. He could really be that guy. He showed it tonight. I hope Jay White gets the win next week.
Ooh, he might. I mean, he might. I noticed Darby on the press conference after the match says, you know, when Tony announced him that he's having the match, Darby was like, I didn't even know I was having this match. I don't know if I'm there mentally. I'm not sure if that was planned or not, but I believe that. He hasn't been without Sting. You can tell those two care about each other. There was something so genuine. They grew on everybody. We all love them, right? So for the way that they booked that tonight, I never been a big Darby person. You guys know this. And I found myself rooting for Darby because of the way that Jay White spoke to him and the way that Darby just came out so genuine, you know, during his time. So I guess Jay White is doing his job. And if he does get the win, Darby is going away for a little bit. I wish we didn't have to break the fourth wall and tell us that that's what he's doing, because I think it would have been more significant. But you don't know what he's doing. It's crazy. You really don't know if this guy's going to come back, if he's got any more time. You don't know. So maybe it's smart to announce it. Not everybody says, hey, I'm going to go climb Mount Everest, BRB, you know.
Yeah.
But if you don't tell us that and Jay White wins and takes him out next week for months, and we didn't know, you know, that would have been, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point. We live in a different era with social media and all that. We would have found out anyways. But yeah, I think Jay White had me kind of sympathizing and rooting for Darby, which is something that not a lot of people have been able to do in the last 5 years of AEW. So I don't know if the promo was bad or if he's that good at his job. I'm confused. I got played.
yeah, Jimmy, I feel bad. Obviously, this is something Darby's been planning for a while, but I feel like it's one of those things where it's terrible timing, because to Issa's point, I feel like Darby is more lovable than he's ever been right now. And he feels like he's kind of ascending, not up a mountain, but up the card right now. And so I feel like this is the worst time to take time away. He's primed. I don't know how long he's going to have to take off to do this Mount Everest thing.
Like 7 to 9 weeks.
Oh, that's all. I'm fantasy booking here. I say Jay White injures him, and then eventually he comes back and gets revenge on Jay White. But it's tough timing. I don't know. What, any thoughts on this?
No, really quickly. Yes, it is tough timing. And like Issa said, he has been growing on the AEW audience. They have accepted him. They have taken him in. And he has been, you know, slowly climbing up in that status. And, of course, on Sunday, Sting sort of passed the torch to him, which is a huge deal. And the crowd is loving this. And he is getting better on the microphone. So he's starting to tick boxes, in the overall aspect of presentation. I wish he would stop going through glass and stuff like that, but that's just a different matter altogether. But again, the social media thing and him mentioning on the show that he is going to go be away for a while to climb Everest, I think, yes, we know it would have got out on social media, like you said, but don't make it overt on television. In my opinion, don't tell everybody you're going to be away, so that if they do an injury angle, at least it makes sense in the television world.
I'm excited for the match, though. I believe this is the first time between these two. Like, I'm actually excited for it. I think they're gonna kill it. Hopefully, Darby's okay. Like, this man just got mutilated on TV. Like, and he's gonna wrestle next week. Like, listen, he's crazy. Darby's a crazy man.
NJ White, yeah, another guy who's really ticking all the boxes on the heel side of things and getting people to boo him. And that's hard to do in AEW with that hardcore audience because they tend to cheer a lot of heels. So to get the audience to boo you is a task, and he can do it.
Yeah, he's really good at it. And real quick, I want to just quickly cover a few promos. We'll just kind of breeze through them here. But House of Black talking about facing Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe is going to team up with Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Tony Storm is going to have the Tony Awards with an I, so that they're not sued. And Kyle O'Reilly says he's going to go it alone.
That's not Kyle O'Reilly. That's an AI-generated Kyle O'Reilly.
Explain yourself, Issa.
You don't think that you think that's Kyle O'Reilly?
That's what the name tag says.
Yeah, that's not him. That's not him. I'm like that lady at the airplane. That's not real. That's not, that guy is not real. Okay, that's not Kyle O'Reilly, and I'm not letting it go.
Okay.
That's a hologram.
Anything you're looking forward to from these? They didn't really give us a whole lot to pull from, so I'm just gonna punch them together, Jimmy.
Excited to see the House of Black in there.
Exactly. It's like the old saying, hey, what's we got to get this person to a hospital. A hospital, what is it? It's a big building with a lot of patients, but that's not important right now. You know,
right.
Moving on.
Yeah. So we get to the main event. Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, another Callis family versus Callis family situation. Mm-hmm. Will Ospreay gets the win. Bryan Danielson comes out post-match. Jimmy, I don't know what your style of wrestling matches are. I like a lot of different styles. This one blew me away. These guys felt like they were really trying to show the world what they can do. I loved this one. Kyle Fletcher, I think, has definitely earned time on TV. Will Ospreay, I think, is a absolute superstar. Not in the making, but he's there. He's absolutely. That intro, Ospreay. Oh, I was like, I was like going in, getting into it. Bryan Danielson seems to be in the future. Jimmy, talk to me about this one.
No, it was a heck of a match. These guys can go. And Ospreay, like you said, he's getting better on the mic as well. And that's an important aspect that people forget about. You need to be able to talk people into seats. Regardless of what you can do in the ring, you can be fantastic in the ring and have people talking about that, but you need to be able to convince them of who you and show them who you are and get them invested in you as well as what you can do. And that ending, I thought, and hats off to Kyle Fletcher. You know, he left it all out there as well. But that stare off with Bryan Danielson, he almost said it again. So Bryan Danielson at the end, so good. I just wanted a little bit more of that face-to-face and let it breathe and let the camera and the audience absorb it a little bit more. It felt rushed, almost like this thing promo getting cut off. Let it sink in and people would have gone, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Issa, your thoughts on the match. And if I can play devil's advocate, of course, obviously who doesn't want to see Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson,
all my money.
But if I'm, you know, Booker worried person, Danielson coming off a loss, Ospreay can't lose yet. What's going to happen here? I mean, isn't it kind of a
Bryanson doesn't hurt from a loss here? I think he's just there to have fun. Now, to Jimmy's point and to Max Philman over in the chat, maybe you could have gotten rid of a couple of false finishes and then maybe we could have had the stare down for a little bit longer because it was great. I absolutely love this match, but at some point you have to start going, there's no way, there's no way they're going to keep kicking out of these things. It just starts becoming a spots fest instead of a really good wrestling match. And there's a very thin line. And I feel like we were there tonight, right? With so many, I didn't feel it with the Takeshita match tonight. There was a couple of spots in there that I was like, there's no way you're kicking out of that. And they kicked out of it. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, sorry. It's just that with the Takeshita match, I felt that they sold more. They registered everything lot more and made
they have more time. They have more time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And little things like when you hit somebody with a big move, the person giving the move was selling as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference there. Instead of rushing in to get the cover.
It felt rushed. That is a valid point. With Takeshita, they had a little bit more time to kind of like just let the big spot settle before they will continue. Mm-hmm. But that is the thing about an Ospreay match. The counters that they were doing, you can tell that him and Kyle Fletcher have incredible chemistry. I think it's the best Kyle Fletcher has looked. It takes two to tango. I also love Takeshita on Sunday, which I haven't really been a big Takeshita person. And I think is the dance partner in there as well. I think Ospreay, like you said, Jack, is a main star. I saw a video from the arena on Sunday where the Ospreay chant was so much louder than what it came off for me on pay-per-view, and I loved mm-hmm. that, and I thought tonight it sounded very loud. I think Ospreay had that crossover appeal. I think a lot of us that don't watch anything outside of this, we're familiar with him, and we know why he's here, and he's just making an impact. That bruise on his back, from that spot on Sunday, it looks so painful. And this guy's out there putting another pay-per-view worthy main event match on free television for us. Like, I am very thankful that he's here and we're going to get him every Wednesday. That's what he said at the press conference, that he's planning on being mm-hmm. here every week. So I'm super thrilled to see him. But if you got to tell me, I mean, is it a little bit premature? Yes. But we don't know how we have Ryan. We don't know what. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
So book it. But it does it feel like we're just doing the same thing where it's like, oh, it's a dream match. We have it right here, right now. Here you go. Let's book it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would Brian, after a loss, like you say, come out and stare down Ospreay? For what reason? Like, what is your reason? And there was no, I guess we'll get that in the build-up to it. But yeah, I agree. Do I want to see it right now? Yes. Do I also think it's too early? Yes.
Yeah. My takeaway from this was, I said it before, but I feel like every week, there's more and more strength at the top of AEW's card, where I look at Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay, Okada.
Be champions tomorrow, and nobody will question it. Okada could win the title tomorrow. Ospreay could win the title tomorrow, and nobody's going to be mad about that. It's crazy.
100%. And, I mean, that's even guys who are in the I think a Jay White could get there very quickly. I think a Wardlow could get there very quickly. I think Brian Danielson obviously is always in the conversation there.
And you have Kenny Omega and MJF on the shelf injured right now. Hangman Page. Yeah. Like, it's the AEW roster needs to get their flowers. And they have also a lot of people.
And there's also a name that people are forgetting about because he has been out of the spotlight for a while, MJF.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, they've got a very healthy roster. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. there's some people who aren't healthy in that regard, but I mean, as far as like,
but man, that's the thing. You can't have, like I just said, MJF, Kenny Omega, two of what were your top stars 5-4 years ago when the company first established are on the shelf right now. And I said it on my stream, and no shade on MJF. There, at no point during Revolution, I said, man, the show could really use MJF. And it's not that I don't miss him. I do. But the show was great because the roster is that stacked right now, and you just added two great names to it. So it's great to see because you don't know when somebody could get injured, and you don't want to have that situation where you don't have nobody ready to go in. AEW right now, it feels like there's a lot of top guys that are ready to be in a main event spot at any time.
Right. All I wish for is a little safety. That's all. Because the one spot you talked about, the bruise on his back, on Will Ospreay's back, but that spot with Orange Cassidy in the corner, my goodness, thank goodness he's okay. That's all I
Yeah, that was scary. That was a scary one. A couple scary ones, but that's why I don't get in the ring. I think that does it for us. Everyone in the chat, like, comment, share, subscribe. Also, let me know what your overall thoughts of the show as we go around the horn. Issa, what were your final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Final thoughts. I thought this show was it wasn't a perfect show. There were some things I could have done without. There were some things that I really enjoyed. I feel like that's every show. So like no show is perfect right now, but that's okay. I enjoyed, you know, watching it. And you guys can find me on NYC Demon Diva throughout all social media platforms. You can find me here on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Also, Lucha Libre Online. We do have a show we're going to be covering this Saturday. For those in Puerto Rico, we're going to be in Guaynabo, Shelton Benjamin. I believe this is his first match post-release. Coming back to WWC, he was a Universal Champion here years ago before WWE. So our boy is coming home. I'm so excited to see him in the ring.
Please give him a hello for me, man. He's one of my
favorites. I will do that. Yeah. I will do that. I adore him. I got to interview him a few times, and he's just such a... I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. And like I said, he wrestled here before, so a lot of us are looking forward to seeing him come back.
Yeah, he's incredible. Definitely everyone needs to check that out. Jimmy, what about yourself? Where can we find you, and any final thoughts?
No, just again, like he said, a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Stuff I liked, stuff that I thought I could use a little tweaking. But hey, you know, it's tough after, especially after a big pay-per-view like that that was so good. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, we talk about follow that. Yeah, that's unfortunately the situation they fell in tonight. But hey, there were, like I said, some good stuff. But as far as where you can find me here on Wednesday nights with you guys, Monday nights with Triple J. If you smell what the ref is cooking, and of course, with the Refing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner and RJ, where this week we have Cody Diener on. Last week we had Diamond Dave LaGreca. Wasn't wearing his pink robe, but hey, that's okay. You can't have everything. And of course, my Ref and Rants from Monday to Friday, on all my social media platforms. We're on at Jimmy Corderas on Twitter, at Real Jimmy Corderas on Instagram. Just giving my critiques and my thoughts on things. Again, not to tear down, but to twist a little screws, tighten a little screws to help what I think need to be helped out. Let's put it that way, because all the views on Ref and Rant are those of mine and mine alone.
Well, that's also a couple of good shows from you to check out. I recommend everyone do it. I thought this was a great episode of AEW. I think that a few months ago, they said they were going to start kind of turning the ship, and we're starting to see a lot of those things really pay off for them. I think it's been really smart, the things they've been doing. Hope to see it continue. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I am going to be on the Monday show as well as the Wednesday show, like I am today, here on Wrestling Inc. And I'm going to be doing on the call on commentary for Santino Bros Last Man Standing on the 16th. That'll be a fun show. Check that out on Fight TV. That does it for us. We'll see you guys next time. Follow at Wrestling Inc. I'm going to hit the end stream button now.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.